America's Toy Scout Joel McGee is going to join us in just a second here. Mary, I don't know if you got any. I know personally, me and my sisters, we beat up our old toys so much, like the Barbies. We had like every Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
But we cut their hair.
Oh, yeah. You pulled their legs off.
Pulled their legs off, tried to put them back together. Didn't always work.
My Barbies are a mess and they get so dirty.
Oh, totally.
You know? And how do you clean them?
They're in a big garbage bag in my mom's basement. I wish they were worth something. I know they're not. We had the Barbie dream house, too. That's like a total nightmare. That would have been nice to hand down.
I want to get mine out and clean them up for my grand girls because they're in not bad shape. I have a lot of clothes. My grandma used to make Barbie clothes, so I have
cool.
a lot of Barbie clothes.
I used to make Barbie clothes. I tried.
Oh.
I did all that. Those are not worth anything. I can
no.
They're not even good hand-me-downs, but they were fun.
Yeah.
I had Star Wars stuff, too. I had like the original R2-D2 and like the C-3PO stuff, but those, again, are in terrible condition.
Plus, everybody had those.
Well,
you know?
That's probably true.
I don't think they're that rare. But, you know, I'm interested in asking him something.
Okay. So get your calls in now, 312-981-7200. If you have something that's not beaten up, that you would like to know how much it's worth, toy expert Joel McGee, he's America's Toy Scout. And not only is he on with us right now, this is an advance of your appearances here in the Chicago area next week. Right, Joel?
Yeah. Yep. Be here next week. I can't wait.
Well, we love you here in Chicago, and the phones always light up when you're on, and people have so many questions for you, hoping that the things they have lying around are worth something, worth a lot of money. Any sort of, I think Mary wants to get her question in first. Let's try to get that one first.
Okay. Sure, let's do it, yeah.
Okay, so these are cool. I have a collection. When I was young in the 60s, 70s, I used to love to do puzzles. So I have a collection of the mini puzzles, and the ones I loved the best were from an artist, Sandy Miller. And they were round little puzzles, and they're just real pretty and colorful. I wonder what they are, you know. I mean, there are a few missing pieces. But
any value there?
Yeah, I can tell you about puzzles. It's kind of a tough one. Usually only the puzzles that really have value generally are character ones, usually related to the usual suspects, TV shows, whether it be the Addams Family or Munsters or Bewitched or, you know, Bonanza, all that kind of stuff. But generally, the fun, the pretty puzzles, it's hard to get collectors for. I do know that one of the reasons why puzzles are hard to get collectors for is that, especially when they're like hundreds of pieces, people get really irritated if they're missing one piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually don't take a chance on spending much money because they get disappointed after spending hours and hours putting them together only to find a piece missing.
We do that
like
all the time.
I have several times.
We have a dog that eats puzzle pieces, and I'm not kidding you, because during the pandemic, we did a lot of puzzles.
He
and there'd always and there'd always be, when we'd find them partially chewed up and, you know, regurgitated on the floor, that's a problem. Those would not be worth anything. Hey, are you ready to take calls, Joel? You good?
You bet. Let's do it.
All right. Denise is a woman after my own heart. She's got some Star Wars action figures, I think. Right, Denise?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yes, I have the original ones. And they are when my husband actually bought one for himself when he would buy one for our son. And he kept all of his in the package. And they are really in great shape. Ooh. No one's ever played with them.
No one's
ever
touched them. I love to hear those stories. And, you know,
there's
two main stories for that. Is when they're new in the package, I've asked people, I said, how did you not play with these all these years? And yours is the first one where they're like, well, one for their kids and one to put away or several to put away.
Yeah.
And the other one is, if people bought stuff ahead of time and they hid them because they knew their kids were going to be snoopy before their birthday or Christmas, and they forgot about them.
Well, we laughed at
like
my husband.
20 or 30
we said,
years later.
Yeah. We're like,
no,
you
those
really
are,
think those
are
going to be
number one. Yeah. Star Wars is huge, that era.
Okay.
In fact, if you've got the original figures, they just, the market has just exploded on them. And in fact, you know, having them in the packages is just tripled or sometimes even quadrupled the price. So,
how did we get rid of these?
He didn't know it at the time, but he did the right thing.
But how did we get rid of those? Because he's got comic books and cards and wrappers and, you know, different things like that. How do we get rid of that stuff? Because everybody says, that's so valuable, but where?
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to be in three locations next week. I'll be on the 19th and 20th. I'll be in the Marriott, Spring Hill Suites Marriott in Warrenville. And then I'll be in Joliet at the Holiday Inn on the 21st. And then I'll be at the Courtyard Marriott in Schaumburg on the 22nd. So
Okay.
Any of those work? Something I'd love to see.
Denise, any of those work for you? We'll repeat them again before this is
will you?
Over.
I was going to say, yeah, and will sure. you have them on your website or?
Yeah, I think Pete's saying
on
yes.
My website, toyscout.com.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Toyscout.com.
And, oh, Joel, it's joelmcgee.com. Is that your website?
Toyscout.com. Toyscout.com. Really easy.
Toyscout.
But Denise,
okay.
Pete's saying we'll also get it on WGNRadio.com, too. Toy Scout and WGN Radio. All right, Denise, good luck, and
okay,
let me know if there
so
were
very
something.
Much for the info. Okay, bye-bye.
Joel, how about mine, the ones that are all beaten up? Are they worth anything? Probably not.
Yeah, you know what? I always say there's something for everybody. So what do we do with the beat-up figures? I'll tell you what happens. A lot of people love to make dioramas. And, of course, in Star Wars, you know, a lot of things get shot at and blown up, and people love that. You know, you got to have figures for every character situation. In this case, a lot of people make battle scenes, and your characters would fit perfectly. Of course, they don't go for as much, but there's still a market for them.
Oh,
people
that's
love
interesting.
That.
Okay, let's go to Dan. Yeah. Dan, you're on WGN. Got a toy you want to bring up with the Toy Scout?
Absolutely. I have a late 60s Marks Electro Shot Shooting Gallery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those were very popular. You know, it was kind of a combination of manual reels and then electrical, you know, things would turn and spin just like a real shooting gallery. And but people love those. So, yeah, that one, is it to have the box or is it loose?
Okay, it has the box.
Okay, the box is even better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little ratty based on its age, but, you know, it has all the flaps and, you know, the color art is still very legible and, you know, very bright. I had to do some minor restoration to it because there's a little clown in there with a spring, you know, and you shoot at the clown's head and it goes back and forth. So the head fell off, so I had to gently remove the rivets to get the clear plastic cover off and reattach the clown's head. I put nuts and bolts in there. But, you know, it works perfect. Runs on D-side batteries. And
I would say in that... Yeah, no, that sounds good. I would say you're around $70 to $100 on that because you have the box.
Okay.
Would you sell it, Dan? Would you consider selling it?
Yeah, but hey, while I got you on the phone and while you got me on the phone, too, what about the old Horikawa tin robot, the battery-operated tin robot?
Oh, yeah, all tin robots are, you know, there will always be collectors for robots of every age, and tin robots are the best. You can't ever go wrong with those. And, you know, typically robots like that, depending on how many actions and such, but they go for anywhere from $100 to $200 on average. So, and they can go higher depending on how old and what manufacturer and what kind of actions they have. Absolutely.
Cool.
Good luck, Dan. Maybe you want to show up next week. We'll repeat the locations where Joel McGee is going to be here in the Chicago area. So maybe you want to sell that.
Fantastic. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for calling in, Dan.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're going to repeat those locations, too. Don't worry. Let's take another call here, and then more of your calls, too. 312-981-7200. You got a retro toy, something you want to praise. Joel knows everything. I mean, and he's going to be here, too. So you can not only get the price, but then you make good on it next week when he's here. Bill, you've got something you want to find out about. Go ahead. Your question for Joel?
Yeah. Joel, I have a late 1940s Lino electric train. It's all metal. In working condition.
Okay, good. Yeah, Lionel is really the Cadillac of trains. You've got Lionel and American Flyer, and then kind of all the rest after that. So now, are the cars metal too?
Everything is all metal. It's all metal train. It's when they made them out of metal, plastic yet.
That would actually be pre-war then. So very popular.
Yeah, it was probably about 1942, maybe a 41, 42, right?
Wow.
Yep. Absolutely, that makes sense. So, again, trains vary a lot depends on what number cars, how big they made like 20 or 30 different engines, and they all kind of look similar. But generally, if you have a nice, clean, working train set, you're talking anywhere from $75 to $200 on average.
Okay.
Bill, how do you have this?
My wife... she inherited it. It belonged to her brother. He got it probably about 1940 or 41, somewhere in there, as a Christmas gift. And then he passed away, and her mother gave it to her, and she has it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, my wife passed away 4 years ago, but I have it in my basement. It's not in the original box. It's in a box. It's in good condition. And I was just curious what the price was, because he has a grandson that lives somewhere in Georgia. I really don't know him, but I know where he's at. And I thought it was either give it to him or sell it and give him the money for it. Right?
Well, you got a decision to make there, and we'll repeat the locations again coming up here, Bill. Okay, so thank you for calling in to WGN. We will repeat those locations, and we'll take more of your calls. The retro toy, if you got one, you think it might be worth something, find out what it's appraised for. Joel can tell you coming up here on WGN. Hey, we're back with the Toy Scout, America's Toy Scout, Joel McGee, joining us here before his visit to Chicago next week, finding out if your old toys, what they're worth. We got lots of people to get to, but I just want to mention this one from the text line real quick, Joel, because it leads to another question. 815, I got Rock'em Sock'em Robots in the original box with Bargain Town price tags still on it. Does that matter when price tags are still on it? Does that add value?
It does add value. People love to look at those old price tags. I mean, it brings back memories. I remember we had a store called Bella's Hess in Sioux City, Iowa when I grew up. And whenever I see a Bella's Hess tag, it reminds me of how big and cavernous that building was back in the day. And I remember seeing the toy aisle. You know, it's all about stimulating our memories in our minds. And toys do that, and price tags, believe it or not, just as much. I mean, we all think back in time when we see that price tag and remember that exact store. It's like, oh my gosh, I remember that Ward's or you know, the Woolco or the Woolworths or all those little fun places.
It brings back so much memories. That's true. We used to go to the Cut-Rate Toys on Devon Avenue here in Chicago, and it was, they just had big boxes of toys. It was kind of wholesale or something. And you're right, brings back so much, so many memories to see that that price tag on things that we have
done. Isn't that amazing how just looking at a price tag with a name on it can like bring back happy memories and stuff?
It's so true.
It's amazing. I mean, we had the Five and Dime store. It was kind of like a Woolworths. But they had like an ice cream counter, and we'd get my mom would take us for an ice cream sundae, but down the basement was the toy room. And oh my gosh, I can remember the brass railings all the way down to the basement. And, you know, I'd never remember that if I didn't see those price tags.
Isn't it true? It's like a song can bring back exactly where you were at that moment in time and the way you were feeling.
Yep.
A price tag, believe it or not, can do that to you. And it has done that to me.
Simplest things in life, right?
So true, Joel. Let's hear from Jim here. He's been waiting a while. Thank you for doing that, Jim. You got a question for Joel, a toy.
Not a toy, but a 1940s Monopoly game back when you got an 8x8 box. All the houses are wood. Everything's metal. Kind of worn out.
Yeah, a lot of Monopolies were. Here's the scoop on Monopoly. It is still one of the most favorite games in America, and especially back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s was the most favorite game in America. Hence, there's a lot of Monopolies out there. There's literally millions of Monopolies, and many people have them still sitting in their closets. So generally, Monopoly is just because of the sheer number that were made, are not too terribly collectible, although there are some people that kind of try to collect all the variations. But, you know, your average Monopoly game, even if it's an old one, goes for $10 to $15, maybe $20. But, you know, if you have like a character game like the Munsters or something like that, they can go for hundreds of dollars. And the reason is, number one, they were a favorite TV show of people. And number two, they were licensed and usually only for about a year or two at the most. So very limited releases. They weren't made year after year and decade after decade.
So do you think you'll sell it, Jim?
Totally appreciate it. I was debating, you know, do I pass it down to the next generation or sell it? I'll pass it down.
Probably a good choice. They'll appreciate it, Jim. Thank
you. Good memory.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
That's pretty cool to pass down a 1940s Monopoly game. That'd be a really cool thing to have.
Hey, I was a real estate tycoon when I was a kid. I acquired Boardwalk and Park Place. I thought I was like king of the world.
Remember that feeling getting a hotel on Boardwalk? It's like, yes!
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. And I was ready to pounce on anybody that got near me. I'm like, come on, boys, roll that dice. I'm waiting for you.
Another thing that brings you back, right? Susie's got, I think, a toy. Is it collectible Barbie, Susie? What do you got?
Hi.
Hey.
I just kind of started listening, so if I'm repeating something, I apologize. I have like 1980s original Polly Pockets, and there's some collectible Barbies in their boxes and some Madame Alexander's in their boxes. And I'm just not sure if that's something that is value of anything.
Hey, Susie, hang on for the answer here because we're getting a weird some feedback on your line, but Joel will answer what I think you heard, right? The collectible Barbies.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Madame Alexander. Right. So Madame Alexander is one of the most popular dolls aside from Barbie in the United States. Very well made, very popular company, and it was really one of the Cadillacs of dolls. I mean, the clothing and the outfits were second to none. I mean, they were basically as good a quality as any real outfit. I mean, they lined them all and with the, you know, all the accoutrements and stuff. But anything Madame Alexander from the 30s through the 60s can be extremely expensive, anywhere from $50 to $500 for old Sissy dolls, which was their biggest example, which was about 18 inches. In the 70s and 80s, they kind of overproduced them. They kind of got a little carried away. We call them the blue box dolls. They came in blue boxes, and they're almost kind of like the Cabbage Patch syndrome. They have tons of, people have tons of the blue box ones. So as long as they're the 60s and older, which were in green boxes or usually no boxes at all, very collectible. We do feel that the 70s and 80s ones will go up in value. It's just that the prices are a little depressed, number one, because they're still on the a little bit, quote, on the newer side as far as antiques are concerned, and they were a little overproduced. But nonetheless, they will go up.
Good to know. I hope that you decide to sell them. If you do, Susie, that could be you could have some value there. A couple of text ones here too, Joel. Today's price tags do not carry good memories for me. LOL. That's today's price tags, not the retro ones we were talking about. 847, I have an original Barbie that belonged to my mom. No packaging, but all the clothes, including the swimsuit, in great condition.
Yeah, Barbies, you know, a lot of people kind of gravitate towards talking about the Barbie dolls themselves, but even as importantly and more importantly are the outfits. I mean, most of our Barbie collectors love collecting every single outfit to go along with the doll. So that's a very important part of Barbie collecting. In fact, they just made so many hundreds of different outfits. And if you're a collector, you want to collect everything. And those outfits are tough. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have the dress and the purse, but to have the shoes and the necklaces and all the other little perfume bottles and things is very tough because they got lost as kids. You know, they were so small. You know, anytime you heard a little crackle in mom's vacuum, that might have been Barbie's bracelet.
Or somebody stepped on them. You heard your dad go, ah, did you kids leave your Barbies out again? I just remember that. Yeah. Speaking of flashbacks, let's go to Lynn here. She's got
and that makes it fun to collect to try to complete those. So, yeah, very important. We love those.
I could see that. Lynn, go ahead. You're on with the Toy Scout, Joel McGee. What do you got?
I have a Walt Disney's Dancing Cinderella and Prince. It's a wind-up toy.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. Does it have the box or loose?
I have the box. It's not in great shape, but I have the box.
Okay. You're right about $100 on that one. It was made of plastic, and they were kind of molded together, and they danced around in this all kinds of different patterns. It was kind of what we call a mystery action wind-up toy. When you laid it on the table, you didn't know exactly where it was going to go. It could go two times to the left and then right and then left, and that was half the fun because you never knew where the darn things were going to go. But especially Disney and Snow White, Cinderella, all that kind of stuff, yeah, very good. And people love Disney. Of course, I'm the Disney expert, so
that's
right up my alley,
too. I forgot about that. Yeah, thank you for the call, Lynn. We got to try to get Mary in here because we have so many calls and questions about Cabbage Patch dolls. Mary, what do you got?
I have an original Cabbage Patch doll, which was signed by the creator, and I have the adoption papers, and I was just wondering if that's worth anything.
Hmm.
The early ones, yes, signed by Xavier, yes, they do have value. Generally, Cabbage Patch dolls, it was a phenomenon. I mean, people just absolutely went nuts. They paid hundreds of dollars for a $20 doll, and a lot of those people have never played with them. They've just kept them safely kept in the closet. There's not a huge amount of collectors for Cabbage Patch, and generally the prices really aren't any more today than the $15 or $20 they were back then. But any of the early issues, and especially signed by Xavier, they usually go for $100 to $200 a piece, and up sometimes, depending on the rarity of it.
Would you sell it, Mary?
Yeah, I would.
All right. You got a couple extra, a couple hundred bucks coming your way then. Thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. Okay, Joel McGee, I want to explain where your appearances are, and we're going to try to have you on next week, too. So if we couldn't get you today, we got a lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of people with retro toys. I just want to make the appearances, kind of comment on those again. Monday, July 19th, Tuesday, July 20th. Next Monday, Tuesday, you're going to be at the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott in Warrenville. Wednesday, July 21st, you'll be in Joliet at the Holiday Inn on Rock Creek Boulevard. On Thursday, July 22nd, you're in Schaumburg at the Courtyard Marriott. So lots of places to see you, check you out, and make the exchange right there. You do it on the spot, Joel? Is that how it works?
Yep, on the spot and cash.
Woo!
People love
It's nice. It's a very nice way to do business. Not everyone does it that way anymore, Joel. Well, hey, thank you for the time today and the memories.
I could take a Bitcoin, right? Maybe we'll take a Bitcoin.
Yeah, get into Bitcoin. I hear it's really doing well. So make sure that you do that. In the meantime, cash, I think, works. I think that works for most people. Thank you, Joel. Thanks for the time, okay?
We'll talk
to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Joel McGee, he is America's Toy Scout, WGNRadio.com. We're going to put up all those locations where he's going to be next week.